For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Looking at seek God, not things. That's a good message. It's a good message because the Bible makes it very clear that the nations are seeking things, people are seeking things. All types of things like covetousness is in the hearts of people and so on. So we'll talk about some of those things tonight. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this word to you tonight, and Father, I ask that every person here be blessed in the hearing and that there be an opening to understand what you have for your people, understand how you want your people to operate, Lord, in prosperity, in biblical prosperity, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you may know that there is different types of prosperity. There is a false type of prosperity that comes from, operating in the world's system, and oftentimes it does require all types of deceptive things in that. But there is a biblical prosperity that we need to understand, and that's an important thing because there is an attack on the doctrine of prosperity. But if I was to say, well, I'm not going to preach anything about prosperity, I'd have to say, well, those verses that talk about prosperity or prospering are wrong. But I'm not going to say that, and neither should you. Glory to God. So we're going to go through seek God, not things. So let's first of all look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Now you'll see that God is a wonderful rewarder of his people. And the kingdom of God operates through a basic principle called sowing and reaping. So there's seed time and there's harvest time. And so God expects his people to be sowers. He expects his people to sow good things, good seed, and expects his people to reap good things as well. And of course you understand the law of sowing and reaping means that you can also sow bad things and get a bad crop as well. But looking at Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God wants us to diligently seek him. And that requires us to be people of prayer. It requires us to be people of the word. So we need to be, as the Bible says, to study the word. So we need to be students of the word. We need to be people that are meditating on the word of God. That's biblical meditation. So taking that word into your heart and believing it and thinking on it. And actively asking the Lord what is his will and what is his way in our lives, and going forward in that. So we're not just people that are seeking to do our own thing, are we? We are diligently seeking him. Notice that? Diligently seeking him. And praise the Lord, there is a reward to that. So he is the great giver. And of course he gave the best gift of all time, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a wonderful gift that was. And the precious blood of Jesus is a gift without price. It's just matchless. What we see here is that if you come to God, you've got to have faith. You've got to believe that he is, that he is what he says he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's a biblical principle there. Seeking the Lord is and should be an important part of our life, an important part of our faith walk, the walk by faith the Bible talks about. So if without faith it's impossible to please him, it should be a top priority for us to know about faith, because we want to please God, don't we? No, you're saying, well, I don't know anything about faith and I'm not going to learn about it. No, we need to understand about faith, and that's why we've got a whole section under the sermons on the Victory Faith Centre website called Faith. So there's dozens of sermons under that topic. Glory to God. Let's also have a look at 3 John verses 1 to 3. 3 John 1 to 3. And what I'm establishing here is that seeking God is a good thing and leads to God prospering us and rewarding us. So that's the good type of prosperity you want in your life. And we see that also in 3 John, verses 1 to 3. Now you'll see the word truth used a few times here as well. And Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." He says that in John 17:17. "Thy word is truth." So we know that we need to get the truth into us, and we need to do the truth. We need to be walking in the truth. And notice what it says in verses 1 to 3. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." Notice that? The truth got in them, didn't it? "Even as thou walkest in the truth." So the truth has to get in us, and we have to walk in it. So there's an outworking in our walk of faith. But notice what it says in verse 2. "I wish above all things." Well, that's a high desire, isn't it? "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Does God want us to prosper and be in health? He does, doesn't he? He certainly does. And with the Apostle John's desire here, it was right at the very top. Notice what he says, "even as thy soul prospereth." So he links it to your soul prospering. Now your soul is your mind, will and emotions. Okay, so you can't be thinking all the wrong type of things about God and the kingdom and faith and etc., etc., and think you're going to be prospering. Now God wants your mind to be thinking along his line of thoughts and his ideas and his words. And your soul can prosper by getting the truth into your heart, into you, and walking out that truth in your walk of faith. So God wants us to be prospering and to be in health, but he links it to our soul prospering. You cannot have your soul not prospering and think that you can also walk in God's prosperity and health. So it's a very big and important key to get your soul prospering, making sure that your mind, will and emotions, that's your soul, line up with the word of God, with the truth. Glory to God. Let's have a look at Luke 12 now, and God gives us a few keys in here, and he talks about what the nations of the world, now the world is made up of those who are not born again, what the nations of the world are seeking after. And Luke 12 has some very important things to say. See, biblical prosperity is not covetous. Covetous, to covet something means to strongly desire something. Now, there is a good coveting. The Bible says to covet the best gifts and to covet to prophesy, for example. And there is obviously a bad coveting. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife or thy neighbour's goods. That's part of the Ten Commandments. So you can see that coveting in the Lord's way is, as I just mentioned, is a good thing. But coveting in the world's way in the sinful way is a bad thing. And that type of covetousness, the Lord warns against quite strongly. And we're going to read about that. In Luke 12, and we'll start from verse 15, we'll go to verse 21 here in Luke 12, 15 to 21, first of all. And what we see here is an example, 12, 15 to 21, we see an example here of a rich man of the world. And, okay, when God is not against his people being rich. You've got to understand that. Abraham was rich. And he's not against that at all. He is against us loving money and having a covetous spirit. Okay, and we see that very clearly in this passage. Starting from verse 15, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, take heed and beware of covetousness. This is the bad type of covetousness. All right? For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Isn't that interesting? The whole world thinks that very thing, that a man's life consists in the abundance of the things that they possess. And they're constantly chasing after that type of thing. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And notice what he thinks within himself. This is an indication of a soul that's not prospering in God, okay? Look at what he says. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, notice he's speaking to his soul, and what is he saying? Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21 says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So a prospering soul will be one that's centered on the Lord, not on yourself. Notice in that parable, if you count the number of times, I'm not going to count it, but you can see here the number of times the word I is used. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This will I do. Where's the Lord in that type of thinking? You know, you should be saying, Lord, what can I do with this? And the Bible is all about giving and sowing. It's all about giving. And you know, good things will come back to a person who is that type of giver. But you could see this man was all about himself and all about eat, drink, and be merry. God was not in his thoughts at all. But God is watching, as it says there. God called him a fool. So this is the evil or bad type of prosperity where people leave God out of their thoughts and are covetous. And that's not the way we should be at all. Remember, we saw that the Apostle John did say that God wants us to be to prosper and be in health. But it's related to how our soul is prospering, and it's prospering in God. Obviously, it cannot, and we should not be self-centered. We should not be people that are covetous. And that's a very important thing, the Lord. And let me just read it again in verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So this is important, that we are not centered on things or on this present life, okay, and what we can get out of it and so on. Now, I know that this goes against the grain of the world, but this is the way of the Lord, and that's important for us to see. If you also have a look at verses 24 to 34, we'll have a look here what it says from in this same chapter of Luke 12. Verse 24, consider the ravens. This is Jesus speaking. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Okay. The fowls, when you see the word fowl in the Bible, it means winged creatures. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Verse 25, and which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? In other words, he's talking about worrying here. He's talking about becoming consumed with things and worrying and fearing about lack and so on. And you can see it if you read the whole passage as well. Verse 27 says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So God wants us to increase in faith and believe that he's going to clothe us and care for us and do the right thing by us. And he does. Verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, whether neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these, what's that word? Things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So what he's saying is, you're not to seek after things, but you seek after the Lord. All right? All these things, if you do have a lack, the Bible is very clear that you're to seek the Lord.
Yes.
Not to try to seek the things, but to seek the Lord. And he is the great provider. And it requires us to have a renewed soul, a prospering soul, a renewed mind about things. Notice it says in verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So the Father knows. He knows you have needs. He knows that. Verse 31 tells us what we should be doing. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That sounds like a promise to me. Glory to God. Seek the kingdom of God. And we mentioned before, the kingdom of God is about sowing and reaping. And there's many scriptures that talk about that. And all these things shall be added unto you. So if you're seeking the kingdom of God, you'll be seeking, Lord, what do you want me to do whilst I'm on the earth? The book of James talks about that. It talks about people shouldn't be saying, well, I'll go and do this and that, but leave God out of the picture. That shouldn't be the case at all. We should be coming to the Lord and seeking the Lord as to what he wants, what direction he wants for our lives, what he wants done, and so on. So, glory to God. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God's not after impoverishing you. He wants to give you the kingdom. Glory to God. So we can see, just by looking at these scriptures, that God is directing us to look to him constantly, to look to him, to seek him. Verse 33, sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fail not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, your heart is your inner man, your spirit. Where your treasure is where your heart will be. Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in the kingdom of God? If it is, then you got your heart in the right place. But if your treasure is in the world system, in things, in covetousness, all that type of thing, well, you have to be changed if you want to go the biblical way. Glory to God. Let's have a look also at Psalm 119, verse 36. Now, this will tell us how to have a prosperous soul so that you can prosper in the way that the Lord wants you to prosper. Now, Psalm 119, verse 36. So God doesn't want his people in poverty. In fact, the Bible says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. And then he says in another scripture that we are redeemed from destruction. So God doesn't want his people to be in poverty. He wants his people to look to him. And even those that are poor, what would we say to them? We would say, look to the Lord, wouldn't we? We wouldn't be saying, trust in man, but to look to the Lord. And this is a very important concept to get hold of. Psalm 119, verse 36, it says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. So how must our heart be inclined? To God's testimonies, to his words. We should be inclining our heart, our inner man, towards God constantly and not to covetousness. Important thing to see. So let's have a look at an example of someone who did the right thing and the Lord caused him to prosper. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 1 to 5. Let's look at that. 2 Chronicles 26, 1 to 5. Now here we see an example of a king that started well. You might say, well, he started well. Okay, yes, he started well. Uzziah started well. But sadly, he ended badly because he inclined his heart towards other things. But he started well. So it's a big warning to us, isn't it? We can start well and we're going to continue well. We're going to continue on to do what God wants us to do. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, we'll go verses 1 to 5. I won't go into what happened to him at the end. You can read what happened to him at the end after verse 5. But certainly at the beginning of his reign, he did the right thing. Praise the Lord. It's a big warning for us to seek the Lord, not things and not our own way. I can't overemphasize that. Verse 1 says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. That's a long reign, isn't it? 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He mentions his mother because obviously his mother helped him at the beginning of his reign. He was only 16, after all. So his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And notice it says in verse 4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he what? Sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So this is what biblical prosperity is. And this is a biblical law. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. Because your soul will prosper and you'll be going along the lines of truth. So that's wonderful. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So you can see what happened in the latter part of his life. He started not to seek the Lord. Okay, and you can read that yourself. Let's also have a look at 2 Chronicles 16, verses 12 and 13. 2 Chronicles 16, verses 12 and 13. This is another king, Asa. Now, I just want to show you here that if people don't seek the Lord, there can be real problems that can happen in their prosperity and in their health as well. All right. So, verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 16 says, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign." So you can see he got diseased in his feet in the 39th year and died in the 41st year, 41st year of his reign. So you can see that obviously the disease ravaged him and he died. But the thing to get hold of here is that, let's say sickness does come, God is not against physicians or doctors, all right? But he is against you seeking that or seeking man first. He always wants you to seek him first. Always. Seek first the kingdom of God. Always. Can everyone understand what I'm saying here? So we're pointing us, God is pointing us to the right way here. And so we see an example of Asa. And of course, it's a sad example there. But we saw an example of how God will prosper people that seek them, that seek him constantly. We'll finish with Matthew 6. Matthew 6, just want to go through a couple of verses here. This one parallels Luke 12. But Matthew 6 has a couple of other things in here that I just want to point out. And we'll look in Matthew 6. If you look at verse 24... Verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is a term for worldly riches, worldly things. You cannot serve both. So God, remember, he has changed us. When you're born again, you're changed from being a servant of sin or a sinner into a righteous person who, as Romans 6 says, is a servant of righteousness. So we are no longer servants of sin. We are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We are now in the kingdom of God, and we are now servants of God, and we should act as servants of God and understand that we are serving God and seeking God. And if you're a servant of God, what would you be doing? You'd be saying, "Master, what should I do? What do you want me to do?" Can you see what I'm saying? It's pretty easy. Pretty easy. This is what the seeking is all about. Lord, you are Lord, you are Master. My life is short on this planet. The Bible says in the book of James, it's a vapor, very short period of time. We should be seeking the Lord. What does he want us to do? Because sooner or later, all Christians are going to face up to what is called the judgment seat of Christ, where he will judge what you did as a Christian on the earth. Okay, the damned will face another judgment seat, that it won't be like the judgment seat of Christ. It's called the judgment of the damned. It's at the end of the book of Revelation. It talks about the end of the millennium. So you don't... Obviously, the judgment of the damned is did you receive Christ as your saviour? Have you been born again? And because you're not, then you can't be in the kingdom of God. But the judgment seat of Christ is all about what are we doing with our life that the Lord has purchased by his blood? What are we doing with our life to glorify him, to make sure that we are doing what he wants done and serving him with all our heart? Praise the Lord, glory to God. So if you look at verse 33, well-known scripture, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Glory to God. So we see that the nations of the world are seeking after things. We are in the kingdom of God, and we should be seeking, as it says there, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." What does God want us to do? What's the right thing to do? What's the way of faith? What's the way of truth? How do you want me to use the things that you have put into my life to glorify you? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've given to us. Oh, that precious gift of salvation, Lord. We are so grateful for that, and we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that we are now your servants. We are sons and daughters that serve you, and we praise you, Lord, for that great privilege. Father, I ask that you show us and continue to remind us to be people that seek you, and not things. Help us, Lord, that we are not deviated in our paths into covetousness, but we are continually led by your Spirit into the good things of God, into the ways of God. Help every person here, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. Glory to God.